Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is the Coast to Coast Radio Show, and I'm your host, Ron Fitch. Today, we're going to talk NFL and NCAA, if I have time, a little NBA. But I want to get to all the big NFL games. And I thought they were six big games, and I'm going to go game for game. The first one was Sunday night's game, where the Eagles pulled it out against the Dallas Cowboys, 33-27 in overtime. And this was back and forth. I thought before the game, in my heart of hearts, Dallas are going to win this. Dallas are going to win at home against the Eagles, and that'll help. And then Romo will be back, and that could get them still in the hunt. The Giants win, and they know they really had to win today to really stay close. And they start out well. Cole Beasley was just a problem all game long. 5-yard pass from Matt Castle, who played pretty good. DeMarco Murray comes back with a 1-yard run in the second quarter. They let the Eagles off the hook. I thought what happened was the Eagles got their running game going with DeMarco Murray and Matthews. Murray had 89 yards. Matthews had 64. They both together ran well. And I think what Chip Kelly's doing, and is really smart, he's running. He's giving Murray the type of running plays he's comfortable with, so he's able to run downhill. And he's giving Matthews those quick-hitting runs that Chip Kelly likes to do in his spread offense. And it's working. He's kind of finding what they like, and he's letting Bradford throw a lot of crossing routes since they don't have a deep threat to Matthews, and then Riley Cooper, he got hurt, and Caleb Sturgis, their tight end. They ran a lot of short crossing routes, and what they're doing, they're running screens and crossing routes and making Matthews, Murray, play Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray, they're letting them play well, and Jordan Matthews, their wide receiver, they're letting them catch the ball and run instead of using Bradford is a type of quarterback that can sling it all over the field. He's not really that quarterback. So what Kelly's doing, he just has to play to his strengths. And that's what they did. And they were up 14-7 after Ryan Matthews scores. But then Cole Beasley just took over. He's like a Julian Edelman. Him and Julian Edelman have a special skill set in the slot. And it's a 14-14 game. And it's 14-14 till the fourth quarter. And the Cowboys are driving. And I'm thinking that Castle's gonna drive here, and they're going to take the lead. And out of nowhere, Jordan Hicks gets a 67-yard interception return. 21-14, Eagles got momentum. Then the long kickoff return. And then third down, Castle throws the ball up for grabs. And an 18-yard touchdown grab by Dez Bryant, who jumps way in the air and snatches the ball from all the defenders. 21-21, I'm thinking Dallas is going to win. I know they're going to win now. They go down the field, 10 plays, 67 yards. Actually, the Eagles do, and they kick a field goal. I thought there was some questionable play calling by Chip Kelly. They could have got a touchdown, but it sells for a field goal, and I thought they'd pay for it. Dallas had the ball with a minute and 44, one timeout. They moved the ball. They didn't move it, like, quickly. They could have moved the ball. If that was Tony Romo, the game's over. They go in for a touchdown, the game's over. But Castle is not as equipped to do that. And they settle for a field goal, goes overtime. Eagles get the ball, and DeMarco Murray takes completely over this game. Dallas seems gassed because what Chip Kelly's offense does do, going, you're running, they're churning, they're doing a no-huddle all game, you get a little tired. And they were huffing and puffing, and they just kept at it and ended up Jordan Matthews getting a 41-yard pass from Sam Bradford, and that's it. He caught another crosser route and scored. That was game. And now the Dallas Cowboys are in a little trouble. They're two games behind the first-place Giants. Their season is not over yet because there's a lot of the Giants have the Patriots this week. They beat Tampa yesterday. They have the Patriots. They have a couple other tough games. The Eagles have an easier schedule. The problem the Cowboys are going to deal with is if they could have won, they could have had a two-game they could have beaten the Eagles twice, and head-to-head they would have matched up well. The problem is the Eagles have Tampa and Miami at home. Dallas has Tampa and Miami on the road. Dallas should finally win against Tampa and Tampa, but you don't know. I mean, Tampa could play a good game. They had a bad game yesterday. But Winston could come around and come alive and light the Cowboys up, and that could be it. So but I think the Cowboys are going to win that. At Miami could be halfway tough. Miami, I don't know. I think they had a bully mentality when they beat those first two. After they got the coaching change and Campbell came there, I think there was more of a bullying. They became like a bully team. So when they ran to the Patriots and the Patriots punched them in the face, they looked like they were scared of the Patriots. And then yesterday, the Bills destroyed them. So the Cowboys could win those games. They could split. I could see Tampa beating Dallas and then Dallas beating Miami. And Dallas having seven losses and then Romo comes back. And then you have to try to make a run and hope. Dallas' only way is to hope that the teams ahead of them lose. Forget the Redskins. As long as Gruden and Cousins are in command, forget them. They're going to keep losing. They'll get to last place. They're playing for last place. Jay Gruden has more of a desire to execute and have his way than to win football games. So they have no interest in being a winning organization anymore. So I'm writing him off and sending him on their way. But Dallas is still going to try to make a run, especially with Romo back, because you can see they got the weapons. Defensively, Sean Lee keeps getting concussions. I don't know if this is the last one. This is the last straw with him. You know how I feel about Hardy. I'm not going to get into the James Hardy thing. I mean, on the field, he's a great pass rusher, but, you know, he's a horrible person off the field, and I'll leave that be. But as far as Dallas' hopes are concerned, I give them a hope. They still have a chance. You know, the way that the NFC East is set up, they still got a chance. So now I go to the next game, and that's the Packers and Carolina. And I thought maybe if this was a high-scoring game, Aaron Rodgers would do what he had to do, and the Panthers would not be able to keep up. Boy, was I wrong. The Panthers, I'm going to tell you something, they came out flying. 27-7 lead. Cam Newton's doing what he has to do, making great passes to Greg Olsen and Corey Brown, a great 39-yard pass after they picked off Aaron Rodgers. They really got after Aaron Rodgers, too. They really got after Green Bay's defense, and they really got after Aaron Rodgers. This is a complete offensive defensive game. But then Aaron Rodgers does what he does. They storm back in the fourth quarter, Cobb 53-yard pass, Starks 23-yard run, Richard Rodgers 3-yard pass, and now they're down 8. And there's an interception by Cam Newton, who had played great. They're in the red zone, but then Carolina stiffened and won the game, and they earned that. They earned their 8-0 ranking. You know, so Carolina's on their way, and then, you know, they could play home games all the rest of the season. The way they're set up, they're set up really good. And they have to, you know, play Atlanta again. Atlanta is scuffling, losing to the 49ers. Oh, goodness gracious. But, you know, the Giants are in first, half a game ahead of Philly, but Philly beat the Giants. So if Philly ever beat them again, they have the tiebreaker. And I tell you something else about Green Bay. Those footsteps you're hearing, yeah, they're the Minnesota Vikings right now. And I'm going to talk about the Vikings and Rams. The Vikings beat the Rams 21-18. It was a hard-fought game. They won in overtime. Both teams were battling. There was a lot of conversation after the game. Coach Zimmer complained about Greg Williams in particular, about him being a dirtbag, basically. I know he didn't say it in that way, but I'm going to translate it. Their defensive coordinator is a dirtbag who has always been dirty. I have no respect for him. When LaMarcus Joyner hit Bridgewater sliding, I don't know if Joyner tried to get out of the way. It's hard to tell if it was dirty or not. It's just bad that his elbow went to Bridgewater's head, and Bridgewater was out for a while. It was near the end of the game. It looked bad. I don't think you when a quarterback slides and you're jumping into the quarterback. I just think when you're in that zone, I think you stick your hands out and just touch him. If you can't get out, if he's sliding late, and normally if he slides, you get out of the way, but if he's sliding late, you're not sure if he's sliding or not, and you did want to hit him, you have to figure out a way how to just graze him because he put his elbow to his helmet. And I heard the kid is not a dirty player. I remember him from Florida State. But it's just that Greg Williams has a reputation. And you just don't know. And then Zimmer went right after that. Greg Williams can't get in a press conference and defend himself after Bounty Gate and all the other mess he's been in. But, you know, that's Jeff Fisher's boy. And, you know, you got to live or die with that. You can only get so mad at that. But the Rams are still in it. And next week, I tell you, Arizona-Seattle is going to be huge. If Seattle wins, they're a game out. And they're at home, they're a game out. If the Cardinals win, they could move on and go 7-2, and they're ready to win the division. If the Seattle wins, they're back in it. So that's going to be a fun game Sunday night. Now, the real wild game is with Oakland and Pittsburgh. And this, you know, as a Steelers fan, I said, wow, I do want to see. I didn't get a real good look at David Carr of Oakland. I wanted to see him. I don't want to see him anymore after what he did. He was fantastic. 301 yards. I mean, he was fantastic. It was 7-0 on Crabtree's 22-yard pass. And then the Steelers took a lead of 21-14. Then Oakland comes right back in the third quarter. Cleve Walford, who was big on the drive, kept making catches on a 90-yard drive, and they caught a 1-yard pass, and Carr was just outstanding. And he had 4 touchdown passes. Then the Steelers come back and tie the score. Martavis Bryant gets a 14-yard pass on Rossberg. He caught a screen pass, made about 4 or 5 moves on defenders and scored. It was spectacular. And then they get a fumble on the kickoff. And then Jesse James, not the bank robber, Jesse James catches a touchdown pass. I do not know who this guy is. On the Steelers, on my team, tight end. I'm like, who? And then it's, okay, they're up 35-21, but I know with the way the defense plays, at times they could be a sieve. They could be great forcing plays, like Mitchell forcing the fumble on Martavis Bryant, knocking him out, or they could be horrible and give up touchdowns immediately. And that's what happened on a play. 4 plays, 60 yards, only took a minute 52. Olave scores from 19 yards, easy. And then Brown, of all people, Antonio Brown with an outrageously good game, fumbles the punt. And then, of course, you know once they fumble the punt, you know, Oakland gets stopped, but they give the ball right back. And I knew they were going to come back and score immediately. And Derek Carr reads the blitz. The blitz is coming. He reads the blitz perfectly. It was a zone blitz. Saw Crabtree on Timmons on a linebacker, threw a perfect pass off his back foot, 40 yards down the field, touchdown, to tie the game. And Timmons was, for a linebacker, was decent coverage on a wide receiver. But Crabtree, you know, he was too fast, and the game was tied. Rossberger gets hurt. Luckily, he's only out. He hurt his toe. Luckily, he's only out 3 weeks. But Landry Jones brings them down the field, doing a great job throwing the ball to Antonio Brown on a screen pass, and Brown does the rest. It was outstanding as he runs 59 yards down the field to set up a field goal, and they win. And that's a big win because they're 5-4, and the Raiders are 4-4. But if it comes down to it head-to-head, they have the edge. Oakland has an easier schedule, and Pittsburgh has the edge with, I think, with the experience. This is, I'm not counting Oakland out because then the Jets have to keep winning. And Oakland beat the Jets. So they had to head over the Jets. I was just impressed with Derek Carr. He is, just from an opponent, just watching it when he goes against your team and you see an opponent play like that, they have a future. And usually this organization, Oakland, could not get out of its way with Al Davis doing dumb moves, vindictive moves, benching out Marcus Allen for absolutely no reason, getting rid of him, getting rid of John Gruden, the real best coach in the Gruden family, who could have built a dynasty for years to come just because over pennies and ego. But now Al Davis' son has no ego, so he sits back and lets the organization breathe a little. You know, it's unfortunate a man passes, but what happened once Al Davis Sr. passed, Al Davis' son, Mark Davis, sits back. He brings Marcus Allen back. They reconcile. He brings Jack Del Rio. They get a real staff. They get a real general manager. And now they're building. And David Carr, I will predict this. I don't know when, but David Carr is going to hold the Super Bowl trophy. Now, if Oakland keeps him, it would behoove Oakland to keep him. But he's going to win a Super Bowl trophy someday. He's that good. He's a special player. And if he stays with Oakland, you know, Raider Nation will probably get one. It's been a while, but, you know, when you draft a special talent at quarterback, that's the beginning of your possible championship run. I think next year they're going to, with the Broncos, with Manning aging, San Diego's a mess. I don't know about Kansas City. I think Oakland is on the rise, and they're set up to take over that division for years to come. Now, speaking of the Broncos, they lose 27-24 to Indianapolis. Luck woke up. Two touchdowns. They played good. Frank Gore had 83 yards rushing. Denver was asleep at the wheel. Last week, they were excited beating Green Bay at home. They're talking Super Bowl. I mean, Peyton Manning led them back, but they weren't in this game. This wasn't a game they wanted. The Colts wanted more, and they were distracted. And then at the end of the game, they could have got a stop and gave Peyton Manning the ball back. They just couldn't get the stop. And then Tlaib with a dumb 15-yard penalty poking the player in the eye. You got to control yourself. I do not understand a 15-yard penalty that they did. I don't care what the lineman or receiver does. Walk away. The Tampa player, the defensive tackle, I don't know his name, they could have gotten off the field against the Giants and gave Jameis Winston a chance to tie the score, but he just refused to do that and get the 15-yard punching penalty. He takes his fist at the end of the play and punches one of the Giant linemen, and Lovie Smith let him have it, and rightfully so. And then he thinks about it. I can see him on the side thinking about it, like, you know, maybe that was stupid. Yeah, it's stupid. It cost you a game, right? I'm fine here. I'm taking money out of his check. And I might take money out of Tlaib's check. I make that a policy. You're paying. You're losing money this week for being that selfish. Players are so selfish these days. Now I want to talk about the disaster. If you're south of the Mississippi in college and NFL, you suffered disastrous losses. The New Orleans Saints were rolling, and they were 4-4. They're backing in after a bad start, and they're home against the Titans. You think they're going to win, but I tell you what, the Titans hung in there and played great. They were back and forth, and I thought a big play, 14-3, as a chance that the Saints could put him away, but Delanie Walker gets a lucky bounce. The ball goes in his hand, 61-yard touchdown, and it gave the Titans the confidence to stay in it. The score is tied 28-28 over a couple missed field goals by each team at the end of the game. And then Mariota goes down the field, 9 plays, 80 yards, reverses his field by the goal line, throws it the opposite way to Anthony Fasano. There's a well-designed play, touchdown. And New Orleans is probably done. If New Orleans misses the playoffs by a game or two, they're going to think about this game at home to this loss of the Titans. You don't recover from losses like this. This was devastating. My gosh, this was a bad loss. Mariota had 371 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Rob Ryan is as overrated a defensive play coach ever. All you see him do is screaming on the sidelines. None of his teams ever do any good. Now, Ole Miss, I'm going to go to college. Ole Miss controls their destiny in the SEC West. Alabama, LSU, they're set up. They run the table. They beat LSU at home. They beat Mississippi State at home. And you're in the finals. You just got to beat Arkansas. It was a tough game. Arkansas, it was back and forth. Arkansas never, ever, ever quit. And Allen was out. Brandon Allen was outstanding, throwing for 442 yards. They tie the score. Then Ole Miss gets the lead with a touchdown in overtime. But then the play that will haunt Ole Miss forever. 4th and 25, the pass goes to Henry Hunter. He just catches the ball. He knows he's not going to get the first down. Throws it backwards. And then Dominic Reed covers the ball. The ball is up for grabs. If Ole Miss grabs the ball, they win. Dominic Reed gets the ball. But then he runs 31 yards down the field until he gets the first down. You had to see this play. When the ball's thrown, that lateral thrown backwards, it's bouncing, it's anybody's ball. Just somehow Arkansas makes the play and gets the first down. Scores the touch. You know they're scoring after that. But then they go for two. They don't want to go any further in any overtimes. They go for two, and Drew Morgan gets the pass from Brian Allen, and it's over. And it's completely over for Ole Miss, losing to Memphis, who got destroyed by Temple, and Luke getting blown out by Florida. They did not deserve to be even considered, and now they're long gone. So if you're living in that area, if you like Ole Miss and the Saints, you had a bad weekend. You had a weekend that basically ended your football season. Now the beat down by Alabama and LSU. Alabama, they gave LSU a beating. They shut Fournette down completely. You know, Derrick Henry runs for 210 yards. It was, and then Fournette had 31 yards on 19 carries, and it was going to be hard to do anyway because Alabama, Kirby Smart, and Nick Saban shut down I formation power teams. They just do. They do it to everybody. My only issue with Alabama is I want to see them play a spread option team. I want to see if they have adjusted. The last couple of years they've been torched. They haven't had to play that. They've beaten everybody. They may do that if Oklahoma State or Baylor get in there because Oklahoma State destroyed TCU. Now they're undefeated with Baylor at home and Oklahoma at home. They have to go to Iowa State. They can't slip up there, but they have home games, and Baylor controls their own destiny. If they win some tough games, they got Oklahoma, TCU, and Baylor, and Oklahoma State. If Baylor wins out, they deserve to be in. I don't know if a one-loss Big 12 team gets in. It's going to be very interesting. Stanford has to keep going. Stanford has to keep winning, and Notre Dame has to keep winning. And the winner of Stanford and Notre Dame could be a candidate to be that in that last four seed of the top four. And then what if Michigan upset Ohio State? There's a lot of questions to be answered. And then the NBA, Golden State, they're doing what they have to do. I see the Hawks are 7-1, but I don't take them serious because they're not a player. They're a good regular season team, but Golden State. They're playing hungry. They're 7-0. They're not letting up. They're averaging 115 points a game. Their opponent is 97-4, 18.3 difference. That's ridiculous. That's all I have to say. Next week, we're going to talk Bama versus Mississippi State, and then Oklahoma State Baylor. That's a big game right there. So I'm looking forward to talking about that next Saturday.